Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
And we've been asking for your questions on how to deal with debt.
Hi, can somebody tell me why, when we see the news and they tell us just how bad a day it was on Wall Street, why are there all these grinning idiot morons clapping and happy at the end of one of the worst days in a two-day run? But it doesn't matter. If the market's up, they're grinning and happy. When the market has crashed, they're grinning and happy. Where do they get these people from? Why are they always so happy?
I love that. And I've always wondered if there was a number that the Dow could drop that would wipe the smiles off the faces of those CNBC anchors. It's never happened yet.
He was talking about the people who rang the bell in the morning.
Well, not this,
and you went straight to the CNBC anchors. However, Alvin Hall is in the studio with us, so we're going to get to him now. He's a financial consultant, and he's author of You and Your Money, Mastering the Emotions Behind, and oops, I just lost the name of the book.
Oh, You and Mastering Your Money, Mastering the Emotions Behind the Numbers.
Welcome, Alvin. It's always a pleasure to have you.
I'm glad to be back.
So we've been asking our listeners, as we've been talking about debt this week, all week, every slice of debt, whether it's individual, company, or government debt. Mm-hmm. And specifically, we've been asking them now to ask you questions about how to deal with debt, and we have a question.
Yes.
I stand.
Matthew Stover calling from Philadelphia, passing through New York. I like the show. Please explain more about the Federal Reserve system. Please explain how fiat money is printed out of thin air.
So Federal Reserve money, how do you break that down?
The government decides through a series of meetings how much money it needs to inject in the economy in order to encourage banks to lend or to restrict that money by essentially buying money back or pulling money out of the economy through various means.
And it is literally a printing decision.
It literally is a printing decision, how much money we need to inject into the banks just to get money flowing through the economy. And this is one of those things that's often referred to as the velocity of money, the speed with which when I pay you, if I were your employer, Adora, and you got that money, how long would it be before you spent it at a shop that was owned by John? John paid it to his employees, and they want to see how quickly the money is moving through the economy, and they print money in order to encourage that, or they decrease the printing of money in order to discourage it.
So why not, if there's a credit squeeze on, just inject money? But essentially that is...
Well, if they inject money,
the bailout plan is to inject money into the system, but it doesn't seem to be loosening up that much.
No, everyone who is loaning money today is terribly afraid that the entity, be it an individual or a bank or a big corporation to whom they would lend the money, would all of a sudden go bankrupt, and then they would not be able to get that money back because most of these are unsecured loans. They're backed by nothing more than good faith and your promise to pay.
Speaking of unsecured loans, let's talk about credit cards.
Yes.
Target.
Target is having one of the worst years with its credit business. Many of the companies sell on their credit card portfolios to banks, and banks take on the risk. But Target and Nordstrom's decided to keep those businesses. And Target has seen over the past couple of years that its delinquency rate has gone up. Just this last month, the delinquency rate went up to around 8.1%, which is part of the national average. But even worse for them, the number of charge-offs, the number of credit card holders that they've decided to just walk away from and not collect is up to 10.2%. That is a substantial number.
And clearly, they're not alone. This is spread across all of the credit card companies, and obviously a sign that people are struggling in paying their bills.
Yes, it is. You find that general purpose credit cards like Visa and MasterCards, their charge-offs are now 6.8%. 6.08%, up 1.7% from a year ago. And specific retail cards are up to 8.1%. So everybody is struggling. I think these credit card companies, these retail companies, had used credit cards as a way to boost their returns.
Right.
Yes.
I mean, it seems like there's something wrong with the entire business model there. If you build in that much in terms of the default and the fraud, we haven't even talked about fraud
yes.
in credit cards, and then charge a giant interest rate to cover the defaults and frauds.
Right.
You're basically in a situation where somebody's going to run into trouble somewhere. It'd be much better to have a lower interest rate and a much more rational relationship between the store and the consumer rather than some abstract kind of credit card an instrument.
I agree, but when you see these store cards charging 20%, the business model shifts automatically in their mind. They begin to see the credit card business as equal to, and in some cases, better than the actual retail sales business. A friend of mine who owns a jewelry store in Cincinnati told me the story of how his father used to sell necklaces and rings, and one day he started offering credit terms, and the amount of money they were earning just on the interest equal the amount that they were earning by selling the jewelry in the store.
But to this point, we spoke to Professor Elizabeth Warren from Harvard this week, and she said on the consumer side, you need to be watching diligently because in these volatile times, the credit card companies have so much power that they can just change the terms of your card, add fees, change your interest rate, and you may not even be aware of it.
Absolutely. A good friend of mine in Greenwich, Connecticut, who pays his credit cards every month, found that his grace period had been reduced to 15 days.
And they can do that arbitrarily.
Arbitrarily. And he had paid every credit card on time for every single month he had the credit card.
So what's your advice to consumers then, given this environment?
I think you need to reduce your dependency on credit cards and shop around for the best one. But understand that what you have today may not be the same credit card you have tomorrow.
Because the whole fee structure of the credit card business is a kind of an unregulated environment in banking. And the other thing that's really fascinating about what you say is that companies like General Electric make the same mistake as your jewelry friend.
Exactly.
They tried to make all their money on financing, on the cash and the money that they had, and they ran into trouble. And their locomotive business, their jet engine business, can't save them any more than the jewelry could save your friend.
Absolutely.
Fascinating stuff, Alvin.
And clearly something to be watching because the credit card companies are taking a big hit in their revenue, as you pointed out in your jewelry store analogy, that when there are problems there, then they're come to rely on this money and now the companies don't have it.
Exactly. When I teach some of this information, people are often surprised when I say all of these companies make so much money, whether it's a bank or a credit card company, they make so much money on these interest charges that it becomes a business unto itself. It becomes a business of exploitation.
We have another question for you from a listener.
Hi, my name is Wendy. I'm calling from Asheville, North Carolina. I'm in debt really badly from a student loan. I will be paying about a little over double what I borrowed. I'll be 69 years old when this loan gets paid off.
So what do you say to her?
Call up the lenders and try to negotiate some better terms. Or maybe, and I think this was the case when I was in school, there were certain jobs you could take that might write down part of the loans, like teaching in an underprivileged area. I remember part of my loans were written off because I worked in a school in an underprivileged area, and they wrote down like 10% or 15% of my loan. They should ask if there are any relief programs that are available to her, because that is horrific.
So people need to remember that they can be more assertive. Alvin Hall, where it's always a great pleasure to have you here. Thank you.
Thank you.
Alvin Hall is a financial educator and a consultant and author of You and Your Money, Mastering the Emotions Behind the Numbers.
Alvin's always on the case. We're always on at The Takeaway. We're asking you for your stories as part of our week-long series on debt in America. Keep them coming on our website, thetakeaway.org. Alvin Hall will be answering more of your questions about getting out of debt later today. Send your questions now, and the live Q&A begins at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org.
And as John always says, if you missed anything, you can go to our daily podcast, subscribe now at thetakeaway.org or on iTunes. I'm Adora Udoji.
And I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.